Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics.
It's not going to run me now.
All right. Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today, I have the privilege of speaking with Peter and Teresa Martin, founders of the Wetiwa Community and Institute. If that name sounds familiar, you have probably heard them on our After Cana podcast, where Gabby interviewed them about their book, The Rule, St. John Paul II's Rule for a Joy-Filled Marriage of Divine Love. So today we're going to be speaking about building communities to support marriage and family life. So Teresa and Peter, thank you so much for joining us again on the show.
Thanks for having us, Mary
Thank
Grace.
Thank you. Yeah, happy to be here.
So for our listeners who might not have heard you on the After Cana podcast, would you mind just kind of sharing a little bit about both of you and how you guys came to found this institute and just a little bit about what you guys do there?
Yeah, so we have been married 23 years. We've got 8 children. We're blessed to be here in Wisconsin. We moved up from New Orleans, where Teresa is from. Mm-hmm. We got married there in 2001, and we moved up here to take the job as Marriage and Family Life Director for the Diocese of Winona, Rochester, where I still work. And it was, 5 years ago when Teresa was working on her master's degree that mm-hmm. she was presented a copy of The Rule in Italian and asked to write on that for her master's thesis, which she did. And as she was doing that, she kept bringing it to me. So she worked in the middle of the night, basically. We had young kids back then. We still do, but definitely a lot of needs of the family. So she did all of her work in the middle of the night. And when I got up for work, she would tell me everything that she read about the rule. And in the end, we just said, you know, this is incredible. I can't believe it hasn't been translated into English yet. But this seems like something the world needs to know about. But because we didn't feel that, you know, it was something that we should do, we decided, well, let's just follow it. And so we started out very simply starting a married couple group. And in that group, it just became more and more obvious that this is incredible. What it's doing for our marriage and the marriages in our group is absolutely incredible. And then God just kept giving us little graces along the way. So we spoke to a priest friend, and he said, well, why haven't you written a book on this yet? So he got us started on publishing the book. And after the book was published, we started to share it with others on how to start a married couple group and what it can do for your marriage.
And so there's actually 3 texts that are published for the first time in English, and they were part of this bulk of St. John Paul II's works that were lost. Well, maybe not lost, but just like never been published before, and we're back in the archives in the Archdiocese of Krakow. And so the rule, and then 2 other documents also about marriage. And so what we've done in our book too, not only do we have the full translation, English translation of these 3 documents, but then we help to unpack it. And the rule itself is just, it's a rule for married couple groups, but it's 6 simple points. And yet each of those points are very profound. So we use JP2's own words from the other texts to kind of put flesh on it and give people a mission forward. So then if you read the book and you're like, hey, I want to do this, we founded the Wetiwa Community Institute, WCI, mm-hmm. to help sustain couples who and support couples who do want to live it out. So there's one, you know, you can understand it, but then the actual living it out. So we have leadership, leader couple training so that you can really get a feel for it, and workbooks and journals and all kinds of fun stuff to support couples who want to do this.
Wow.
Because the first the first married couple group, Teresa and I more or less understood the concepts, and the couples that were with us basically said, you know, this is not something that's repeatable.
They're like, we don't get it. Because we're like, it's so easy.
We don't know how someone would be able to just pick this up and start a married couple group. And that's where the WCI, we decided, well, we've published a book. We can publish workbooks and materials that help people. As Teresa said, we train our leader couples They are the leaders because they're the ones that, you know, start the group and keep the timing of the group going. But in the end, we're all being fed by the genius of St. John Paul II.
Us included.
Yes, absolutely. So St. John Paul II wrote this rule right after the encyclical Humanae Vitae was promulgated by St. Paul VI. And he did so as the Archbishop of Krakow. He wanted his couples to not only understand what Humanae Vitae means, the truth of it, but he wanted them to live it out.
With joy.
I guess the sadness is that it never took off. It got placed on the shelf. Obviously, we know that in 1978, he became Pope, and it was not taken off of that shelf until his cause for canonization. Yeah. And there was a priest, a Polish priest, who found it. Well, people knew it existed, but he saw it as a great opportunity to bring it back into the light. So he and a professor and his wife translated it into Italian. That was 2009.
And then I was given it in 2019.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, and when we started following it, we really were like, this is just us. Like, we're not any kind of famous. Like, we felt like this is really should be someone else to handle. But the Holy Spirit kept saying, nope, I'm choosing you. So we said, okay. So we started following it. And then we're just like, all right, well, Holy Spirit, if this is your task, like, we've got, like, the loaves and fish, right? Two fish, five loaves. That's all we got. And yet he's multiplied it. So there are leader couples trained and groups in 23 states across the U.S. and then in 8 countries. So Australia, New Zealand, the U.K., Austria, Hungary, Denmark, and even Poland.
Wow.
And all of that.
It's totally the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
work.
All of that is that was, the Holy Spirit.
That was so, never like our intention. Let's go worldwide, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when we're dealing, so I work full time. Teresa does as well as a homeschool mother. And when we published the book, she was in the hospital with our son, who was 10 at the time. He had scarlet fever. So he was in the hospital for like a week trying to fight that infection. Wow. And so she published the book then and there, and we did we don't have a promoter, we don't have a great marketing team. We just
our marketing team.
We just say yes to whatever comes our way, and God's blessed us with interviews that helped to get the word out there. And so we're very grateful, Mary Grace, for you and for your listeners to give us this opportunity, because it's not something that we have the capacity to push on our end, but the Holy Spirit clearly wants to do the work for us.
And for now, like, everybody who helps with the WCI, we're all volunteers, you know? So it's not like, there's any kind of budget for that, but the Holy Spirit just keeps doing what he wants. And there's so much good fruit and growth, and these couples are just having an amazing impact, which I think we'll talk more about when talking about building community today.
Yes, totally. I love this. Okay, so you got the book you got the rule in Italian. So you speak Italian, and so you translate. Wow,
cool. You may know.
You know that's amazing. Wow. Okay. So
studied in Rome. Like, so part of our story and why, you know, I think God chose us way back when we were first engaged, because we felt called to put our marriage at the service of the church way back when. And so we spent the first 4 years of our marriage studying theology in Rome. And so we didn't want to be one of the students who like spent all this time in Italy and didn't learn Italian. So we forced ourselves to take the Italian course. The course is in Italian, not in English.
And our desire was to complete our studies in theology at the St. John Paul II Institute for Studies on Marriage and Family. And they only offer courses in Italian there. So we switched over to the first set of studies we did at the Angelicum, they have an English track. So we started because we were newlyweds when we started our graduate studies. So we started the first year in English just so that we could learn how to live in Rome. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. And then we switched over our second year. So yes, we knew Italian. But, you know, it was already 10 years removed plus, you know, probably 15 years since we had studied in Italy. But
I mean, the whole thing was really grace-filled because I remember sitting there and reading the text and thinking, why do I understand this so well? Like, I was reading the Italian, and I feel like that was God's grace, too, to help me easily read the Italian and not be struggling through the Italian. Like, I'd be reading it and just understanding it without kind of doing a translation in my head, and then stop and think, what the heck? I'm reading Italian. Like, I think even that was God's grace of like, helping me along in all of our frailties and all of our weaknesses that he gave us the boost we needed. And so now we've been so blessed by following the rule. It helps deepen couples, what he calls conjugal spirituality. Mm. He says couples can be so united that they have one interior life. And if we just open up to this, he says, when you're married in the sacrament of marriage, there's a new relationship that's formed. So you each always have your personal relationship with God, right? But when you're married, there's a new relationship, a new avenue to God in the Blessed Trinity. And that is God and the spouse is spiritually united as one. And that's what he calls your conjugal spirituality. And so the whole point of the rule is as a community of couples, right, you're supporting each other. But the point is so that each of your individual conjugal spirituality can grow.
Wow. Great. Well, this goes right into our conversation just about community. So what kind of couples have come through in your small groups, like families with small little kids, you know, marriages that have been like 10, 15, everyone. Great. And how have you seen that kind of with, you said it was a little difficult for some people to understand in the beginning, but as they've continued to practice and to continue to be in this community, how have you noticed that they have really, you know, embraced it for themselves and for their families, but then also for their community?
Well, having the book and workbook help, because then there's it actually makes it a very simple, because it's not a book study, right? So we are trying to understand concepts, but mostly we're trying to not just understand it here, but live it. And so, so that's the point of the groups too. Cause you know how you can go to a beautiful theology of the body talk and you just like walk away with, oh, this tremendous beauty of that the gift of marital love and just the gift of the body and our intimacy and all this stuff that God deigned for a great purpose. But then you get home and kids need to be fed and bills need to be paid and things, you know what I mean? And it just goes out the window. Like you don't, and this is just a chance to apply it on a weekly basis. Right. So there are people who from all ages, and from grandparents to newlyweds. And we have a group in Twin Cities, actually. They've all been married 5 years or less in that group. Oh, okay. And then we have other groups where they've been married, 30, 40 plus years, you know, and so there's just a spread.
Yeah. And it's important. So like we said earlier, the rule is relatively simple. It doesn't have, you don't need a graduate degree to understand the rule. But the beauty is what Teresa just said, is that sometimes you can understand a truth, like a theology of the body talk, or even just listening to a podcast and realizing, whoa, I know that that's true, but it's that application to my life so that I can live that truth out. We don't always get the steps, right? We don't get what do I do? How do I make our marital intimacy something that's also sacred? How, you know, but this rule allows us to tap into that truth that Teresa talked about, that conjugal spirituality, that we've got a new relationship in the sacrament of matrimony where God is offering grace for all things, communication, whatever it is that we're dealing with. God gives us the grace to go through that. And if we trust in him, he supplies that grace equally. So that's the crazy thing, is that one interior life is God speaking to us through our marriage. And so we can, as we grow and recognize that God's there present in our marriage, we can start to tap into that. And little by little, it changes our lives. Going back, I wanted to say one thing about your question, the idea of starting a married couple group. We initially thought, oh yeah, all of our friends who are really well read and are well versed in theology, and those friends of JP2, those are the couples that we're going to have in our first married couple group. Well, the reality is we asked probably 10 couples, and of those 10, the four that said yes we didn't expect those would be the four. And so what we've learned through the experience of getting married couple groups started is that the Holy Spirit really does the work of choosing the couples. The couples who say yes had already a certain calling. They didn't know in particular what God was calling them to, but they had this in mind, this idea of, yeah, I want to deepen our marriage, and I want to do so in a small community of friends. All of us are starving for friendship. That's the truth, kind of universal right now. Yeah. But there's a particular calling that these couples have that allow them to say yes.
And that it's already there. Like the Holy Spirit already planted it. Yeah. It's not us. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to kind of get out of your own way and just invite whoever. Right. And I move from this frustration of living the faith in an anti-Christian world, right, to joy, like the joy of the saints. Like that's what we're aiming for. And it was JP2 in one of the other texts that's in our book. He says, in an increasingly anti-Christian culture, you need heroic virtue to even just live a regular Christian life. And that's the culture that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. And he says that is virtually impossible to sustain on your own. And so even as a married couple, like Peter and I, like we dedicated our whole marriage to serving the church, you know, but for the first like 19 years of our marriage, we didn't ever break through to that like abounding joy. We were doing all the right things and we're saying all the prayers and doing all the things, but like it was still kind of a constant struggle, like climbing up the mountain. It was a constant struggle. And JP2 says that the key to this is community. Community and the support of the other couples allow us. So like taking the ski lift up instead of having to like trudge it out yourself. Like there's a spiritual lift when we enter into this together, so that the community helps us to live at that heroic level on a daily basis without much more effort. I mean, I think the thing like that couples have said, I mean, especially there's this one couple down in Louisiana, and they were talking about just how easy it is to follow, like with the workbooks and stuff that we have. Like it's easy to follow, and you don't even realize the spiritual powerhouse that's happening. But like within a couple meetings of, they're just blown away. And there was even a Nebraska group that we just checked in with on Tuesday evening. And they're like, we just met once and already and they're an older couple too. And they're like, where has this been all our life? You know, like just this, but it's gentle. It's not anything arduous. It's just, it's a beautiful, I mean, he's a genius. I mean, we all knew that, right? But JP2's a genius. Yeah. It's a gentle way to enter in and be able to elevate everyone together in a deeper relationship with God. Yeah.
I'd love to go back to your comment about, you know, how culture today is kind of going against all of this. So obviously you guys are building up the family, you know, unit by focusing firstly on marriages through that community. How have you seen, you know, the connection between building a strong family culture, you know, amongst children and their parents, through this community that you've built outside? Because I think sometimes we can imagine having, you know, family, friends, and all those things that are great, but like this seems, you know, this is deeper than just a friend down the street or anything like that. Like you guys are, like you mentioned, building up that spirit, you know, that is built upon your marriage, but then it's encouraged and all that throughout the community.
Yeah. And I think the important thing is to keep placing the emphasis on St. John Paul II. He had such a great idea of who the human person is, that's what this rule is built upon, is a true understanding of who the human person is. So the difficulty that we're struggling with in the world right now is they're trying to say, the world is saying, no, you are your own person. So autonomy is this idea that everyone can become the ruler of their world. They can find what is happiness for themselves. They can find their own joy. They can pull themselves up from their bootstraps. But that's completely false. And JP2 knew that. We are made in God's image and likeness. And in the Trinity, we see that God is a community of persons and a community of love, where there is love being given and received and then poured out to create another person, the Holy Spirit. So JP2 saw that marriage has a very unique ability to show God to the world. Like, as persons, obviously, we're made in God's image and likeness, but marriage has a unique ability to show who God is into the world by the very fact that our giving and receiving love then brings forth a child. And so he saw that, and this is why he was a great proponent of marriage. And what we're learning and what we're doing in the rule is learning who we're meant to be. So instead of that false narrative of I can handle this on my own, it's we're learning that no, I need to die to myself. And when I do that, I am filled. And so that's what makes this married couple group work so beautifully, is that we are giving to the others because we love them. But in doing so, we are filled. So that idea that no, I can pull myself up from my bootstraps, that's completely false. That's what's making people so lonely and miserable and addicted to things, because they realize they need, well, they might not realize, but the reality is they need others.
And when you step into who you're meant to be, you have more joy. The other thing too is we do require a commitment. So it's not just come and go as you want, right? Like, so these couples are committed to each other. And then JP2 also described these groups as being the heart of a community that would be a sort of seminary for marriage. And so we don't want it to be a click, right? So once a month, so there is a weekly commitment. So you meet with your married couple group 3 times a month. And then once a month on that fourth week, you would have what we call a community gathering or family potluck. And that is where you bring in all the kids, and you bring in, because then they have an exposure to other healthy marriages and other healthy families, so that it really can be this seminary for marriage, right? Like the youth can also meet other kids and realize, okay, my parents aren't weirdos. Like, there are other people who are living the faith too, and it's okay, you know, and then also be edified and encouraged by other adults. So like, you as a parent can tell your kids something like 20 times, right? And they hear it from Mr. John, and they're like, wow, he's a genius. Yeah. And you're just saying, yeah. You told him the same exact thing, you know? Yeah. And so to just be able to see that. And then we even encourage, the couples in their community gatherings, in their like family potlucks, to invite young adults and college age singles and widows and like the greater community, that this should be a blessing poured out. So it's not just for the couples, but it's for the whole parish. It's for the whole church as we build and are fortified. And it's beautiful because, you know, you can think of evangelization as like, I got to go evangelize and like go tell people stuff. But, true evangelization happens in the living witness of lives completely converted. Like your whole life, no matter what your profession is, doesn't mean that everybody has to be like a marriage minister, but whatever you're doing it for the glory of God. And when you're doing that and you step into what the true personhood and this giving of yourself to others, you emanate joy. Like that spark of faith you have is inflamed, because most of these couples who come into the married couple groups, they love their faith. They're committed to their faith, or they wouldn't even decide to do this, right? Mm-hmm. So they're already on fire, but like it flames it even more. And then that ember burns bright. You don't have to hunt people down to go evangelize them. It attracts people in.
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite lines JP2 wrote in Familiaris Consortio, that families become who you are, become who you're meant to be. And like St. Catherine of Siena, you can set the world on fire. And I love the Easter season because we get to read the Acts of the Apostles. And I think we forget the fact that the apostles were uneducated. And yet, look at what they did by trusting in the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of times in our world, we think, ugh, I can't evangelize until I get at least a master's in theology. Mm-hmm. That is untrue. The reality is, there's so much good that you can do in the little acts. You know, we love Mother Teresa, and you know, that first way of loving is by smiling. That it's just so simple that we forget that God will supply the grace. God will give the words and the opportunities. And that's what these community gatherings are all about. We offer an opportunity for families to come together and just be together. We support each other by loving and praying.
It's like a family of families. Yeah, that's what we call it.
We have a meal together, and it's as simple as that. And yet it's beautiful to see how it affects people, how they rely on this, because we don't have the opportunities the way that maybe in the past we did. People don't gather in this way any longer. And so they're so happy to be able to sit with other Catholics and just talk about the faith in an area that is safe. They don't have to feel as though they have to defend every asset, every part of the faith.
Out in the world, you kind of feel like you do,
it's
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. A very contentious world we live in. So
I think that's why there's like a safe feeling. If you want to use the world's word, but to be in the married couple groups too, because a lot of times when you're out in the world, at least for me, I feel like I have to put on the Catholic is good face. You know what I mean? and almost, not let on if I'm having any struggles. And you know what I mean? Because then you get the comments of, well, you're the one who had so many kids. You know what I mean?
Right. Right?
But in these married couple groups, you can be real. And that's what people really need in order to move towards the ideal. They need to be real with each other. And one of the questions that you had sent us ahead of time, you were talking about, like, what are the pitfalls or things to watch out for when you're building community? And I think the biggest thing is to think that everyone has to be just like you. Do you know what I mean? Like, to say, well, if you're not doing it this way, whether it's, the Latin Mass or charismatic or, Franciscan or whatever, like that somehow this way is the only true way. Well, maybe God has put that on your hearts for your charism, but maybe God has put something else on their hearts, but we're all Catholic. Yeah. And so to meet people, even they might be really struggling, right? But at least they're there and at least they're trying. And so I think this whole, he says that we should, Chippy 2 says we should meet every person that we encounter. Think of meeting them in two moments, who they are right now, but also who they're meant to be. So you're seeing this kind of integral vision of who they are. And so even if it looks like a mess right now, you love them there, but you don't leave them there, right? Like you still encourage them and help. And all of us, I mean, we all are a hot mess at one point or another, and to be met with love and not with condemnation and not with like, can't believe your kids are so, sometimes you get that, but like at church or whatnot, people staring at you because the kids making noise or whatever. And I'm like, that's not helpful, But I think that's a big thing, is to be able to not think in isolation, like we should all be rad, or we should all be more Franciscan spirituality, or Dominican spirituality, whatever it is, but that understanding and seeing the uniqueness, being confident in whatever, charism God has called you to, but appreciating and delighting in everyone's differences and not letting it divide you.
Yeah, unity, that's what I'm getting. just like understanding the unity aspect. And I think even you said, it's kind of thinking of the world, which is kind of against a lot of this Christian beliefs that we have. If you're emphasizing that unity within these small groups and within these communities, it probably helps your couples to go out into the world and even empathize with people who don't agree with them or don't see the same, they're not seeing eye to eye on things. Which then makes them more approachable, and which then, allows the opportunity to continue. I'm curious if you guys have any anecdotes about couples or families that have just really thrived through this community and just have really taken that community to heart and then have really strengthened their own family, like units. And then also kind of taken, you mentioned you have those potluck dinners, but just curious if you have any specific stories that could enlighten our listeners.
There's a couple that comes.
How long is your podcast?
Yeah, they've got lots of stories. It's so beautiful to watch because we were graced with this and now we get to see all the beautiful work that the Holy Spirit is doing. It's such
a
beautiful
Holy Spirit is doing
beautiful place for us to be, to just see that the work that we did, we're not going to discount the fact that we had to put work into it, but the work mm-hmm. that we did is bearing so much fruit. So there's one couple in particular, and we always just are amazed by the fact that 3 years ago, they were barely hanging on. Like, they had been recent converts, and then they started having kids and life got super busy and they felt isolated, big surprise, right? And they were looking for a community, couldn't find it. They were a young couple. And if you look around the church, at least many of our churches, there aren't a lot of young families. So they just felt lonely. And then through God's grace, they met us. We invited them into a married couple group.
And the first time we invited them, they said no. Nope.
Oh, yeah. They were not in a place where they felt they could be seated around a room with other faithful couples. They didn't feel like they were at that place at all.
And, but a year later.
Yeah. And a year later, we presented them with the opportunity again. And they not only did they say yes, but they said, this is after some time, they said, this is we're going to dedicate our lives to this because it has changed our marriage so much. Even just little things like, you know, we tried to pray together, but we never could. It was always a struggle. And then through the constant acting in the way that JP2 is calling us to just
be. And the marriage retreat.
And then one of our marriage retreats, they were kind of, they whatever that hang up was, it went away. And they're able to pray together. And again, it's just, it's beautiful because even they say, if you would have told me 3 years ago that I would be not just in a married couple group, but leading a married couple group and starting these community gatherings and leading them, speaking in front of people, I would have said, yeah, right. You're out of your mind because that's where they were. But it's just, yeah. And now they've found their community. They found the value in it. And they're one of our great promoters. They, again, we're all volunteers. They do a lot of great work for us, and it's beautiful to see.
Yeah. And they don't have any formal education in theology. There's also another a funny story from a Texas group in Fort Worth, Texas. And one of the gals, not the leader couple, but one of the member couples also works for her parish. So she was reaching out to me from that parish level. And we were chatting about it. And she's like, to be honest, because there is that like almost weekly commitment, right, of meeting three times with your married couple group. And she said, I have to tell you, I was one of the ones who said, heck no, but she did not say heck, right? I'm not doing that. That's crazy. And she's like, but I will not live without this. Like, I had no idea what we were missing. And we were a faithful couple. I mean, that's the thing. These are not couples who are struggling. These are couples who are really faithful, but there's more. We just don't even realize there's so much more. In the Lafayette, Louisiana group too, like one of the, their couples said, if everybody was in a JP2 group, nobody would get divorced because we all have stuff and we all have issues and we all, and that was the couple that she's going through fighting breast cancer. And she, and she said, we'd never be able to do this as well as we're doing it without the support of the, of our married couple group. And cause we all have stuff and we will fight, you know, but there's a joy that emanates that God, there's more, there's so much more. Like, the status for is your marriage successful? The bar is like, well, you haven't gotten divorced. You're like, great, you've been married 30 years and not being divorced. Like, but there's more. There's more than my dear mother-in-law says that marriage is about sacrifice and suffering. But she ends it there, right? Like, and that is true. I mean, there is a dying to self. But a dying to self, when you completely die to yourself, he says, almost you can be reborn in the heart of your spouse. And so there is a resurrection and there is a joy. And that's what we're missing because we're holding on to this autonomous, I need to save something. Right. Or, you know what I mean? Like this world says, oh, well, you can't give everything away. But you don't understand when you give everything away in the joy of Christ and in the grace and in Christ, you are reborn with so much more. You're not lost. You're perfected.
Yeah. And I think it's so amazing in the world that we live in, this world of social media that is putting us basically in comparison with everybody, right? We're constantly bombarded with, yeah, but are you doing this? Look at other people in your age group. Look at what they're doing. And so there's a lot of just uncomfortable people who are trying to make it look like they've got it all together. But in the group, we kind of throw all that aside. It takes a little bit of time for a group to
get vulnerable,
to kind of finally yeah. say, all right, listen, we don't have it all together. Here's our real life. Mm-hmm. And then we all together, this is why I say there is a leader couple in the group, but we're all together lying our marriage down at the foot of the cross and saying, God, we need your help.
Yeah.
So every mm-hmm. single one of the couples in the group is surrendering their lives to Jesus and finding great joy in that. And that's why we always say that, you know, we don't have to do any marketing or promoting because our people are the
on
greatest
fire.
the
mm-hmm.
greatest yeah. promoters, because people recognize the change. We always yeah. talk about our own experience. Our oldest son was going off to college, and before he went to college, he said, you know, Mom and Dad, that married couple group thing that you're doing, whatever it is that you're doing, it's working. And we were like, what do you mean it's working? Yeah. What does that mean?
And honestly, you never know with kids if it's going to be like yeah. an insult or like
what. He said, you know, I'm old enough to remember the times when you guys would fight and there would be tension. It would either be finances or whatever it was. I'm old enough to remember that we would just kind of tiptoe around and realize that, okay, Mom and Dad are arguing right now, but you don't do that anymore. You're
just happy and laughing all the
joyful.
Time.
You're hugging and kissing a lot more. And we kind of had to step back and say, firstly, did we really fight that much? And
no, I don't
the
remember.
Answer is yes, because when you're young and we're working for the church, there's finances that it never lines up. So there's always mm-hmm. that stress. And then children are stressful. You're up in the middle of the night. You haven't got a good night's sleep in a week. And it's all mm-hmm. that brings on the stress. But the reality is we still have those stressors, but we've just allowed God to supply the grace. And that's the beauty of these married couple groups, is that you're not just doing that alone, because we were trying to do that by ourselves without a great deal of success. But when you're doing so with other couples who have their own things, and then we're all praying for one another, we're all supporting one another, it makes it so much easier for us to be joyful.
And we have weekly challenges. So to just keep your marriage on the forefront, because we have three kids with a rare disease where they have to get twice daily mm-hmm. injections and all this crazy stuff. So it's mm-hmm. easy for other things to take over and yeah. to take precedence. And if you don't work hard to keep your marriage at the forefront, it's not going to be. So yeah. Not only are we in the married couple group, but then there are these weekly challenges. So for example, this week was do a special date night. And it doesn't have to be mm-hmm. like going out and spending money, but we actually did go out this month.
Nice.
This movie, it was so good.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went out for drinks after that. But like, so there are these little things. And then when you get back to the group, everybody's like, well, what'd you do for, you know what I mean? Like you check in on everybody else and you right. expect that they're mm-hmm. like working on their marriage and doing either the dialogue communication or going on the date nights. And some of them are just fun little things, make your spouse laugh, you know, whatever. But yeah. like you have these little challenges so that you do be with the busyness of life and everything right. else that's going on.
Yeah.
You keep it on the forefront.
Right. Mm-hmm. We don't that's allow great. Ourselves to slide
yeah.
into mediocrity.
Yeah.
And in the world that we live in, yeah, there's distractions everywhere. And a lot mm-hmm. of times you can say that, listen, it's justified. I have to be at work. I have to do this. But we also recognize that, but there's still room to work on your marriage in the busyness mm-hmm. of life. And as people do that, they realize that all that other stuff was unnecessary. It wasn't bringing me mm-hmm. joy anyway. And so they realize mm-hmm. that, oh, actually, you know, they rekindle that spark they had when they got married, and they start to set the other things aside and say, yeah, we didn't really have to do that weekly event or whatever it is. So what I'm saying is that it is a commitment, but when people allow for that commitment and say, okay, this is,
and take that step out into the water,
right, this
in
is
the
a
unknown.
High priority. Yeah. Then they yeah. recognize, as Teresa said, with some of the other couples, they said that I would never do without this? And that mm-hmm. that group in St. Paul, mostly newlyweds. In fact, two of them were engaged to be married when they started. They said, you know, I've never known marriage without it. And the older mm-hmm. couple said, you don't want to. It's mm-hmm. so beautiful to live in this. And we say live in community. Obviously, we're not living.
Not physically living all on the same street, right? But spiritually living in community.
Yeah.
And another story that I recently heard, I won't name names or anything, but from a leader couple that said they had invited a number of couples to join their group when they first started. And their group's been going for about 7 months now. And one of the couples was throwing around the D word, divorce. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the leader couple was like, you can't say that. You're Catholic, you know, stop it. And, but that's where the tension, that's the level of tension that was happening in their marriage at the time. And mm-hmm. she's like, I never thought for a second that they would want to be in the group because they were at such a struggling and a real, I mean, the groups are mm-hmm. not for struggling marriages, really. It's for good marriages that want to be great, but she went ahead and invited them. And miraculously, they decided they wanted to do this. Long story short, the latest that she was sharing with me is that they have reconnected and made amends. And she said it got kind of messy. Like, so sometimes during the meeting, they'd like just spill all this stuff out. But they're now at a place of greater joy with each other and have, rekindled their love. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, it's just miracles are happening. And she was the one who was like, this is going to go all around the world because it is so powerful and it is so simple. Mm-hmm. And yet it takes us to this level of spiritual height in our marriage that we never thought was possible.
Yeah, that's beautiful. These are all fantastic stories. And also, I think I want to go back to just even what you said with your own children, recognizing the difference. And I think with our podcast here, you know, we talk a lot about just providing the tools for parents to be able to have these strong family lives. And this clearly is a very positive tool to have to build in your relationship with your spouse, which then correlates as well, you know, in your children, and they can recognize it, which I think is really, really beautiful. So can you share with us like how our followers can potentially find, where do they purchase the book? Where can they find the workbooks? And if there's anything else that you guys are working on today?
Yeah, so we've got a website. They can learn more about us, and there's other interviews there that they can listen to if they would like to learn more about what we're doing. JP2rule.com is the website, so you can do JPIIrule.com or JP2rule.com. Nice. Gets you to the website. You can purchase the book there, and then I'll let Teresa talk about other opportunities if you want to start a married couple group.
Yeah. So if you want to start a married couple group, we do offer leadership training to like really, because it's a way of life. It's not a program because it's not, it has to be something that you freely choose. That's how the personhood gets enlivened and reintegrated is your choice to live this way. But anyway, so we have leader couple training. And so we actually have some spots open for the June leader couple training coming up. So if anybody wants to do that, you can look on our website, jp2rule.com, for information about that too. And if you can't find it, there's a little tab. You can like send us a message and be like, where is that? We also have the marriage retreats that we offer allow couples to really enter in and have an experience of widening their conjugal spirituality in the Holy Spirit. And those have been so phenomenal. And even couples who have been in a group for almost a year and who experienced the marriage retreat like this past March were like, whoa, like I didn't know, like, even though I had been in a married couple group all this time, like this just took us to another level. So we have a 3-day retreat that's going to be big and beautiful. And it's in Lafayette, Louisiana. You can look on our website. There's only about 20 spots left for that retreat. But it's an overnight. And so you can, no matter where you live, you can fly on down to Louisiana and come join us in the South. It's going to be beautiful. There's another one looking to be scheduled in November in South Dakota as well. So there's other ones coming up. But those are the key things to be able to kind of connect. Start with start with the book if you're interested. Yeah. But if you're like, dude, I want this, I'm in, be sure to sign up for that leader couple training. And the training itself is free. The only cost is the materials, which is $55 plus tax and shipping, which is not a lot because you get journals and workbooks and everything in there.
Yeah. And just a little bit on that. We started our marriage when we were engaged to be married. We were this pious little couple that had an hour of adoration together. And we were praying in particular, what does God want us for our marriage? We know that we're, you know, called to be married, but what does God want for our marriage? And he put this on our hearts that we would serve the church in marriage and family in particular. And so when the rule came to us in the way that it did, and again, God has really been directing all the work of the WCI. Honestly, the story of how we were created, it's all just beautiful, and it's a testimony of what God wants. And so when it came to like pricing out the training and all that, we said, this is a gift that we have received. And so we're giving it essentially freely to everyone. So the cost of the training
is, that cost, really?
Is just, you know, as a leader couple, obviously you're going to need a book and you're going to need some of the other, the tools that we use, the workbooks and whatnot. And so that's all you're paying for. Now, whether or not that's going to be sustainable, because we are growing every time we offer.
So get in now while it's still cheap.
Seriously.
Just in time for this interview.
As we do these leader couple trainings, we realize, okay, if we keep doubling the numbers, something's got to give. We can't keep doing this.
It's a blessed problem.
Out of our garage and out of our, this is our guest bedroom, which is basically WCI headquarters. So we realize that, okay, right now, this is a blessing where people can be trained one-on-one. And we're going to continue that again, because we understand this is what JP2
that personal
wanted was
this. So everybody gets a mentor couple.
It is a one-on-one. Everyone gets a mentor couple so they can walk with another couple to learn what the married couple groups are like. But then, we realize, yes, we could do the training as like a plug and play, but that leaves too much open to someone's, maybe somebody's interpretation. And they might say, well, we're only going to meet once a month. It's just too hard. And we would say,
and
well,
there are other groups that do that.
Right. JP2 had a different vision. And so if you're going to follow his rule, then this is what is expected. And we don't say that because we're rule followers. We say it because that's where the fruit comes in.
You have to be consistent. You know, the frequency builds that fellowship. And so, there are other great marriage groups out there who have a different idea, right? Yeah. And if that's what you feel called to, that's great. But like, if you feel called to follow JP2's rule, this is what, because there's so much, and there's so much that he wants for each of us. And there's so much spiritual depth that can be had it requires a greater commitment. But in the end, like, so even though people are like, you know, like, oh, I don't know, that's a lot. Once they start having groups, there's no breakaway. There's like, they're more committed than ever
because when things like Easter get in the way, we didn't meet over Easter and obviously over Christmas. And when you're taking vacation, these sorts of things, it breaks up that.
And that's real life. And that's, you know, that's that real ideal balance.
But then the couples come back and they're like, oh my gosh, we haven't seen each other in 2 weeks. You have to tell me everything. Like, really do rely on this friendship that has been built. And again, it's such a blessing to be able to, as the founders, to be able to see all of this fruit. And honestly, we are so blessed by JP2 and this vision that he has and his genius of, it's very simple, of just being in a community of believers who, as I said, we're all laying our marriages down and allowing God to build them back up in ways that we didn't even know were broken. And this is the beauty is that as you work to grow closer in your marital unity, God either clears things out of the way or
he has to bring makes them to the surface.
Right. Yeah. Makes it aware, makes you aware that, hey, by the way, this one thing from your past, that's what's causing this rift in your marriage. Mm-hmm. So you need to fix that. And it's
because the world, like when we are isolated and or even have a simulated community like the online stuff, right? It kind of slowly disintegrates our personhood. And a person who's broken and has a disintegrated personhood is, he says, incapable of entering into a communion of persons, incapable of authentic love. Because if you're fractured, you can't give a whole to anybody else, right? Mm-hmm. So, God, it's beautiful. Yeah. So if this feels inspiring to anybody and if you want to give it a try, come check us out at jp2rule.com.
Yeah.
Take the plunge.
Yes.
We've seen so much growth that that's all we can say is yes, absolutely. If you feel called in any way. So I'm marriage and family life director. And so a lot of people say, would you want all couples in your diocese to do this? Mm-hmm. I hesitate to say yes, because I don't want to force it upon someone. I want someone to feel called and to say whatever it takes for my wife and I to grow in that deep spiritual union that we're called to, I'll do it. Now, that's the couple that I want to follow. I don't want to say, hey, you have to do this, because you know how it is. Yeah. We all know how it is. Mom and dad drug us to lots of things and said, you have to do it. We didn't enjoy those things as much as when we chose and said, this is what I want. And so that's my answer to, do you think every couple should do this? Well, yes.
But
they
are not
to get to that point.
Well, and it's also like goes back to your point about, you know, there's different charisms, there's different things that people relate to. And so if they really love this, they'll commit fully. Yeah. So perfect. Wow, guys, thank you so much for explaining and sharing with us how important this is for our communities and for our families.
Thanks for giving us the opportunity.
Yeah, so grateful to have you on the show and potentially look forward to having you back again. Who knows, maybe back on After Cana, maybe back here at Ferris Love Podcast. So thank you both so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Mary Grace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.